A battered 1939 Norton 500 motorcycle sputters to life under the Argentine sun. Two young men, one a 23-year-old medical student with chronic asthma, the other a 29-year-old biochemist tired of laboratory walls, strap their meager belongings to the bike and point it north. They call it La Poderosa Segunda, the Mighty One, though it will prove anything but. What begins as a youthful escape from textbooks and routine becomes something far more profound, a 5,000-mile journey across South America that transforms a privileged middle-class Argentine into one of history's most iconic revolutionaries. The Motorcycle Diaries isn't just a travel memoir. It's the intimate chronicle of how Ernesto Che Guevara's eyes opened to his continent's brutal inequalities, how adventure became awakening, and how I gradually dissolved into we. That October evening in Cordoba, drinking mate under a vine-covered patio, the plan seemed simple. Ride to North America, see the world, return with stories. Their families were skeptical. Friends bet the ancient motorcycle would become a good excuse to go jogging. But youth doesn't calculate odds. It chases horizons. They packed light, a tent, clothes, medical textbooks, Alberto's worn copy of Don Quixote, and a camera. Their combined savings barely reached a few hundred pesos. No matter. They had something more valuable, that reckless conviction that the world was waiting. The first challenge arrived in Miramar, where Che's girlfriend Chichina waited. Love or adventure? Standing on a deserted beach, Che felt Miguel Otero Silva's poetry echo through him. Did I win or did I lose? The question is superfluous. I was carried away like driftwood by the tide. Chichina gave him her gold bracelet, 29 carats of love, Alberto joked. Weeks later, sheltering from a storm in a police station kitchen, the incredible letter arrived, ending their relationship. Yet he felt nothing. The road had already begun its work, washing away old attachments like rain on dust. La Poderosa earned her ironic nickname through spectacular failure. 9 crashes the first day, Che's foot severely burned by the overheating cylinder, a cracked frame held together with wire and rope. Endless punctured tires, oil leaks, and electrical failures meant they spent more time fixing than riding. In Benjamin Zarrilla, Che collapsed with fever and hallucinations, forcing a week-long delay. The final demise came dramatically. Brake failure on a sharp curve, an oncoming cattle herd, a desperate swerve grazing the last cow before they crashed between rocks. Miraculously unhurt, they coaxed the dying machine forward before she surrendered completely. A sympathetic truck driver hauled them and their mechanical corpse to Los Angeles, Chile, where they left her at the local fire station. This breakdown proved transformative. Without the motorcycle's barrier, they became ordinary hitchhikers, indistinguishable from traveling workers. They loaded ships, treated patients, washed dishes for meals, slept in police stations, and relied entirely on strangers' kindness. This vulnerability opened doors their middle-class status had kept closed. They were no longer motorized bums, but simply bums, experiencing Latin America as most of its people did, poor, precarious, dependent on solidarity. In Valparaiso, Che encounters an asthmatic old woman gasping for air in squalid conditions. Her tragedy isn't merely medical, it's economic. In poverty, sick family members become purely negative factors in the struggle for life, their dying appeals vanishing into the void. Sharing a blanket with a communist Chilean worker on a freezing night, Che hears how imprisonment and starvation scattered their family, a living representation of the proletariat in any part of the world. At Chuquicamata Copper Mine, blonde, efficient, and arrogant American managers grudgingly grant a 30-minute tour. Their guide criticizes the imbecilic gringos for denying workers a few centavos while Chile produces 20% of the world's copper. A foreman poet observes that visitors marvel at the terrace's scale, but rarely ask how many lives they've cost. Throughout Peru, indigenous peoples bear visible scars of conquest. Their tame, almost fearful stares speak of defeat. In Cusco, Inca stonework survives earthquakes while Spanish churches collapse, a powerful metaphor for enduring indigenous spirit beneath colonial structures. At San Pablo Leper Colony, patients maintain dignity despite isolation, organizing their own officials and police. Their farewell serenade moves Che profoundly. On his 24th birthday, slightly drunk on Pisco, he toasts a united Latin America, declaring national divisions completely fictional. We constitute a single mestizo race. Under a starry sky in a remote mountain village, Che meets a man who'd escaped European persecution. After pleasantries, the man shares his revolutionary philosophy. The future belongs to the people, and gradually, or in one strike, they will take power. In that moment of crystalline clarity, Che realizes his place in history. I knew that when the great guiding spirit cleaves humanity into two antagonistic halves, I would be with the people. He sees himself transformed into a revolutionary fighter, ready to assault the barricades or trenches with blood-stained weapon. This isn't abstract ideology. It's the culmination of every suffering face he's witnessed, every injustice he's confronted, every act of solidarity he's received. The transformation completes when he writes, "The person who wrote these notes passed away the moment his feet touched Argentine soil again. The old Ernesto, privileged medical student seeking personal success, has died. Someone new has been born, someone who will eventually join Fidel Castro's revolutionary movement, fight in Cuba's revolution, and die attempting to spread revolution to Bolivia." 8 years later, now a central figure in Cuba's government, he reflects, "To be a revolutionary doctor, there must first be a revolution." The Motorcycle Diaries endures because it captures that pivotal moment when abstract principles confront lived reality, when privilege meets poverty, when national identity expands to embrace broader human connections. Che's daughter, Aleida, describes feeling as if she rode behind her father through these pages, discovering young Ernesto, driven initially by adventure, gradually transformed by harsh realities, yet never losing his humor. What makes this narrative compelling is its universality. Few will follow Che's path to revolution, but many identify with the restlessness, curiosity, and growing social consciousness driving his journey. It speaks to anyone who's felt the limitations of purely personal ambition and sought meaning in broader social engagement. The journey represents a search for adventure, for America, and ultimately for self, a journey where solitude found solidarity and I turned into we. This book challenges us to examine our own relationship to injustice. Many injustices Che witnessed remain unchanged, challenging us to continue his commitment to creating a more just world. Whether or not we share his revolutionary conclusions, his journey invites us to look beyond comfortable bubbles and truly see the world as it exists for most of humanity. The most important journeys don't just change our location, they change who we are, transforming observers into participants, tourists into witnesses, and bystanders into agents of change. The question isn't whether you'll take a motorcycle across South America. It's whether you'll open your eyes to the world around you and let it transform you.